Do you owe $10,000 or more on at least two federal student loans? Then you may qualify for new programs offered by the Department of Education. These programs can reduce your interest, lower your payments, and possibly qualify you for loan forgiveness. If you have $10,000 or more and at least two federal student loans and currently not in school, you may qualify for one of these programs. Call now to check your eligibility. Student loan advisors are standing by to help you determine if you qualify for these new programs. They can help you reduce your interest, lower your payment, and even forgive a portion of your student loan debt. Take control of your financial future. Make this free 5-minute free call now to Nationwide Student Loans and learn how you can reduce your student loan debt.
800-439-1588. 800-439-1588. 800-439-1588. 800-439-1588.
From the campus of Yale University, this is Business Talk with Jim Campbell, nationally syndicated across the country on the Biz Talk Radio Network and coming to you from our flagship stations, Yale Radio WYBC and 1490 AM WGCH Greenwich. All talk and all business, 60 minutes of radio with leading figures from the world of business along with the business of politics and sports. And we look at the legacy of Bobby Kennedy, 49 years to the week after his assassination, a definitive new biography on RFK. Today on Business Talk with Jim Campbell, Larry Teisman, an award-winning journalist at the Boston Globe and a Nieman Fellow at Harvard. He is the author of the New York Times bestseller Satchel and co-author with Kitty Dukakis of Shock. And the new book is Bobby Kennedy, The Making of a Liberal Icon. Welcome, Larry. How are you this morning?
I'm well. Good to be with you.
Good to have you. I think it's just fascinating. You captured the transformation from a Joe McCarthy cold warrior into a passionate liberal icon, if you will. Where did this capacity for growth come from in your mind?
I think it came from growing up in a household where his father, Joe Kennedy, the patriarch of the Kennedy family, described him as the runt of his litter. And Bobby, from the beginning, had to prove himself and was determined to prove himself worthy of his father and of the legacy. And that meant growing and changing and learning in ways that nobody had expected and in ways that history didn't quite appreciate. Most people, if they remember Bobby Kennedy, they remember him in his latter passionate liberal phase, but not at what he started out as, which was a conservative cold warrior.
What do you since so much has been written about him, what do you think is the most fascinating thing you uncovered? Was it that ability to transform, or what else?
It was his early days with Joe McCarthy, the idea that Bobby's mentor in his first real job out of law school was the witch-hunting Joe McCarthy is counterintuitive. There was the way that he played an extraordinary role during the Cuban Missile Crisis, but in his official rendition of that, in the book that he wrote called 13 Days, which was the first insider account of what happened in the crisis, Bobby fudged his role during the first 6 or 7 days of that crisis. He made himself out to be a middle-of-the-road guy calling for the blockade that proved to be the way out of the crisis, when in fact, in the early days of the crisis, he was calling for an air attack against Cuba, which might have been catastrophic. There were ways that he fudged a lot of his record, especially in the first half of his career, fudged it in a way that it took us 50 years to sort out what he had really done.
Yeah, that was fascinating, particularly on the Cuban Missile Crisis. Let's talk now, how does he contrast, because he's a very different personality than JFK, how close were they, and talk about their differences, even though they're brothers.
They were extraordinarily close. They didn't start out as close. That basically Bobby was the classic younger brother who JFK had no particular use for in the early days. And it wasn't until in the 1940s, at the insistence of their dad, they took a trip together across Asia. And it was when Jack Kennedy was a young congressman and Bobby Kennedy essentially saved his life. Jack had developed a very serious illness, ended up in Okinawa, had a temperature of 106, and it was Bobby who sat at his bedside and helped nurse him back to health. that convinced Jack that this was more than a nuisance kid brother, that he was somebody to be respected and to be treasured because he cared about Jack and had his back in a way that few people did. And that continued in the days when Jack ran for Senate and Bobby ran his campaign, when he ran for president and Bobby ran his campaign, and when he served in the White House and Bobby was his attorney general, and the closest thing we have ever seen to a co-president. But in trying to understand how the two of them were different, I'd like to talk about the fact that Joe Kennedy, the father, had a dream for his sons that each of them successively would become the president. Rose Kennedy had a much simpler notion of what she wanted of her boys, and it was that one of them, and only one of them, might someday make the church, the Catholic Church that she was so devoted to, their vocation. And had Jack gone into the church, I think he would have been the Pope, because that was the kind of guy Jack Kennedy was. He was a bit of an elitist. He liked to be in charge. Had Bobby made the church his vocation, he would have been a parish priest.
Fascinating.
He learned best at the grassroots, a very different kind of guy than Jack Kennedy, and somebody who I think would have become president had he lived in 1968 and would have been a very different president than his brother.
I find it really fascinating that JFK, who was a very pragmatic guy, is sort of cast as this romantic Camelot figure, and Bobby, who was kind of a dreamer, is cast as a ruthless pragmatist.
Right. It was exactly the opposite. And it was because Jack was so good at disguising his toughness, his hard edges, his ruthlessness, and because he had a guy like Bobby to act as his hatchet man. And Bobby, on the other hand, was terrible at sort of conveying who he really was deep down, which was this passionate, empathetic character. And all the world saw of him generally was the tough guy side, which was the side that he was playing as the dutiful younger brother, intent on sort of making his older brother look good.
Let's talk about the relationship with LBJ. What was Bobby's real relationship with him and the pick of him as VP?
So there were four people in the world that Bobby Kennedy despised. Three of them with some great justification. One was a guy named Roy Cohn, the protege of Joe McCarthy, This arrogant young lawyer who started out as Joe McCarthy's protege and ended up in later years as Donald Trump's tutor. He hated Jimmy Hoffa, the seemingly corrupt leader of the Teamsters Union, who Bobby went after with a vengeance. He hated J. Edgar Hoover, the autocratic head of the FBI. And the one who he hated maybe most of all was Lyndon Johnson. He didn't want Jack to pick him as his vice president, although in the end he understood that Johnson politically would help carry the South for his brother, and Bobby would have done anything for his brother. So he went along with that choice. But when Johnson became vice president, Bobby did everything he could to undermine him. Lyndon Johnson had a long memory, and when Lyndon Johnson became president, he did anything in his power to undermine Bobby Kennedy.
The relationship with Jackie, there were rumors as well as that he got her through the tragedy. How about that one?
Sure. So Jackie was probably the one person in the world who most mourned the death of John Kennedy, and along with Bobby, Jackie was in desolate state after Jack's assassination in 1963. And the two of them consoled one another to the point where it was maybe the one time in her life where Ethel Kennedy eventually became jealous. And whether that jealousy was because of their close friendship or whether they had something more, nobody will ever know. There have been entire books written on that relationship between Jack and Bobby. And one of them was called, between Jackie and Bobby, one of them was called Jackie and Bobby, A Love Story. Mm-hmm. And I think it's notable that that book was written after the two of them were dead and nobody could sue for libel, because I don't think anybody really knows what happened with that relationship.
68, revolutionary kind of year, and right now we're in a complete partisan divide. Would you think Bobby would have beaten Nixon? And two, would he have wanted Rudy Giuliani, Bill O'Reilly, Karl Rove? I knew Giuliani. I didn't know the other two guys were originally Big Bobby supporters. Would he have wanted that kind of support?
So the first question is, I think that he would have easily beaten Richard Nixon, and I base that on two things. One is the fact that Hubert Humphrey, the Democratic nominee that year, came within a whisker of beating Nixon, and that was after violence in Chicago at the Democratic Convention and a divided party. I think Bobby would have united the party. I think there would have not been violence in Chicago if Bobby had been the nominee. I think the ticket would have been Kennedy and Humphrey. And the person in America who best understood Richard Nixon's vulnerabilities was Bobby Kennedy, who 8 years before had run his brother Jack's successful campaign against Nixon. And if you had had a united party and Bobby Kennedy as the standard bearer, I think he would have beat Nixon easily. And I think what would have happened then is Bobby would have welcomed the support of all the conservative, white, Donald Trump kind of voters who would have been with Bobby because they remembered him in his early conservative incarnation, the Joe McCarthy protege, Bobby Kennedy. And he would have welcomed also the chance to build bridges, and the kinds of bridges that in 2017 terms would have been uniting angry Donald Trump whites with a Hillary Clinton kind of coalition of minorities and liberals. And I think that would have been not just a winning coalition, but it would have been one that could have healed the kinds of wounds that we had in 68 and that we still have in 2017.
Wow, that's fascinating. You're listening to Business Talk with Jim Campbell over the Business Talk Radio Network, 350 stations around the country. You go to biztalkradio.com, find the station closest to you, or listen over the Internet and access all of our prior shows on podcast. Next with Larry, we'll look into Bobby from McCarthyism to 1960.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control over your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank account, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problems now by calling the experts at Tax Mediation Services and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new laws that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. Tax Mediation Services is accredited by the Better Business Bureau. Call now for a free case review and a price protection guaranteed quote. Call Tax Mediation Services now at 800-616-2130. That's 800-616-2130. 800-616-2130.
Is getting a degree on your bucket list, but you've got a life, a job, family, stuff you can't put on hold to go back to school? Grantham University gets it. For over 65 years, Grantham's delivered affordable, relevant college and advanced degree programs to the men and women of our military. Let that sink in a moment. If they can deliver a quality education to a service member in a tent in Afghanistan, think about the flexibility Grantham can offer you so you can earn your degree too. Grantham is accredited and 100% online, so they're built to be flexible, to make sure you can fit an education into your already busy life. Call Grantham today to find out how easy it is to get started on your education and check that college degree off your bucket list. Call Grantham right now, 800-910-0850. That's 800-910-0850. Grantham University. Flexible. Affordable. Relevant. Call 800-910-0850.
Do you have an old car sitting in your driveway? How would you like to learn a hassle-free way to get rid of it, help kids in need, and get a great tax donation in the process? It's real easy. One simple free call to our car donation hotline is all it takes. Call the Neshama Foundation at 800-721-6723, 800-721-6723. We'll come pick your car up for free and give you a tax donation for the full value of the car, running or not. The value of your unwanted car will go to help kids in need. It's fast and easy. Just call us and your car will be gone and on its way to helping children in 48 hours. And you get a nice tax deduction. Call the Neshama Foundation now to get rid of your car, help kids, and get a tax write-off.
Call 800-721-6723, 800-721-6723, 800-721-6723. That's 800-721-6723. 7:23.
Are you ready to leave your corporate job behind and be your own boss? Have you ever dreamed of owning a business? Do you have $50,000 or more sitting around in a 401k? If you answered yes, it's time to invest in yourself by buying or starting a business or franchise. IRS code allows you to use money in a 401k to invest in a business with absolutely no penalties or taxes. At Guidant Financial, we've helped more than 11,000 entrepreneurs invest $3 billion in retirement assets into the small businesses and franchises of their dreams. So if you've got $50,000 or more in a 401k and you're looking for a way to start a business, call Guidant Financial now for free information and to learn more. Operators are standing by for your call. 800-570-6630. 800-570-6630. 800-570-6630. That's 800-570-6630.
Biz Talk Radio.
We're back with Larry Tye's written an epic new bio on RFK. And I want to start off with Joe McCarthy, who you've highlighted. Why would he work with this guy? Did he not see through him initially? I mean, he was not only, a witch hunter, sort of out of control. He was an alcoholic as well. He was associated with Roy Cohn. Why?
So there were two reasons why. One was because his dad liked Joe McCarthy, and anybody that Joe Kennedy liked, Bobby Kennedy was disposed to like. And the other was because Bobby believed back in the 1950s, along with much of America, that there really was a communist and a Soviet threat, not just in Eastern Europe, but in behind every pillar at the State Department. And Bobby Kennedy felt there was only one guy who was taking seriously this threat, and that was his dad's pal, Joe McCarthy. So he went to work for him enthusiastically. He ran the one set of hearings that McCarthy ever ran that got bipartisan support and that seemed to really come up with something real, which was the fact that our allies, the British, the Greeks, lots of American allies during the Korean War were shipping goods to Red China and even shipping troops. And we were aiding the Allies through the Marshall Plan, and they were aiding our enemies in Korea, and Bobby helped expose that. There's a real question in history. I'm now working on a biography of Joe McCarthy, and one of the intriguing questions is, if Joe McCarthy had had as his chief aide Bobby Kennedy instead of Roy Cohn, would Joe McCarthy somehow have gone off in a different direction, have been more responsible, and have politically survived rather than getting censured by the Senate?
Interesting. Now, there was a crusade against Jimmy Hoffa and also through the Rackets Committee on the mob. Talk a little bit about those, and are those enemies you don't necessarily want to make?
Those are enemies if you're a Democrat and if your brother is about to run for president. Making enemies of very powerful union leaders is not something you want to do. And Bobby going after Jimmy Hoffa helped ensure that in 1960, Jimmy Hoffa was going to back Richard Nixon instead of Jack Kennedy, and that could have cost Jack the election. Bobby Kennedy went after Jimmy Hoffa because he felt, with lots of justification, that there were lots of fishy things going on in the Teamsters, and it wasn't, in Bobby's mind, going after the union. It was going after corrupt leadership that was selling out the union. And so he justified it. Bobby saw the world in terms of white hats and black hats, and Jimmy Hoffa, in his mind, was one of the clear black hats.
He never really totally repudiated McCarthy, right? I mean, he even snuck into his funeral.
So Bobby Kennedy was, if nothing else, a very loyal guy. And the world may have abandoned Joe McCarthy, but Bobby felt that McCarthy had been good to him and he was going to stay loyal to him. So on the one hand, he went, despite his brother Jack telling him not to, to Joe McCarthy's funeral in Appleton, Wisconsin, in 1957. On the other hand, he made sure that nobody saw him at the funeral, and the few reporters who recognized him, he begged to leave him out of their funeral stories. And the good news to me was, 50 years later, one of those reporters was trying to purge his soul of the fact that he left Bobby Kennedy out of a story naming every other dignitary who was there. So Bobby showed his good side in going to the funeral by staying loyal, and he showed his Spinmeister side by trying to protect his brother Jack by keeping the Kennedy name out of any association with Joe McCarthy at the time of his death.
All right, let's move to Ruthless Bobby. We're election of 1960s campaign manager. Is that a fair name? Did he engage in dirty tricks at all? And did he consciously sacrifice his reputation for his brother?
Richard Nixon would later be known as Tricky Dick for the dirty tricks he engaged in. And he said he learned his best tricks from Bobby Kennedy. A couple examples of what Bobby did in 1960. His brother Jack had a disease called Addison's disease, an adrenal condition that in those days could be fatal. And the world never knew of that. Bobby essentially covered it up, and he made it seem like he had a harmless condition. Another example is Bobby Kennedy, in what may have been the single decisive move in 1960 in that campaign, helped get Martin Luther King Jr. out of jail when he was jailed on relatively trumped-up charges. Bobby made a phone call to the sentencing judge, which was certainly unethical, maybe illegal, and nobody ever knew about it for another 40 or 50 years. He made that behind-the-scenes call. He got King out of jail. White America never really knew about that, but Black America did, to the extent that leaflets went out in Black churches the Sunday before Election Day, contrasting Jack Kennedy, the candidate with a heart, with Richard Nixon, who the leaflet said did nothing to help Martin Luther King. That ensured a major Black turnout, and in critical states like Michigan and Illinois and New Jersey, the Black vote, an unprecedented Black vote that abandoned for the first time the party of Lincoln and went with Jack Kennedy, probably made the difference in that election.
As if I recall correctly, I think Nixon had the choice to call too and opted not to. The debates, really the beginning of the TV age there. Is the Trump presidency a reality president, the natural outgrowth of that, and were the debates decisive?
So the Trump presidency is an enormous outgrowth of it. The debates in 2016 proved as decisive as they did in 1960. Those were the first national televised debates in 1960. Bobby helped prepare his brother Jack. He also had a wonderful touch just before they went on the air, when Richard Nixon had a heavy beard, a so-called 5 o'clock shadow that made him look pretty ugly on TV. Mm-hmm. Nixon asked Bobby how he looked. Bobby said, "You look marvelous." Nixon decided not to have makeup put on, and he went on the air looking like he did.
Wow, I've never heard that story at all. Now, let's get into the AG job after the victory. Kennedy famously saying, "I want to get Bobby a little government experience before he goes into the private sector." Describe the role, which to me is the portfolio is really unbelievable, and Jared Kushner now seems kind of a similar portfolio.
So Bobby's role, his official role, was as Attorney General, and he may have gone into office as the least qualified Attorney General in American history. He had never tried a case in a court of law. He came out 3 years later as arguably the best Attorney General in American history, based on everything from his role in going after and waging a war against organized crime, his help of the civil rights movement, his going after political corruption. But he did more than play the classic role of attorney general. He was his brother's key advisor on everything from politics to foreign policy during crises like the Bay of Pigs and the Cuban Missile Crisis. As we were talking before, he was the closest thing to a co-president that we have ever seen. And yet Congress was worried enough about this nepotism that in 1967, after Jack had died, Congress passed an anti-nepotism law, the so-called Bobby Kennedy Law, which is the one control we have on what Jared Kushner can do today. The only place that the legal system has ever spoken to the question of appointing brothers or son-in-laws or daughters is this Bobby Kennedy Law, and that controls not just what Jared Kushner is doing, but what President Trump's daughter does as his informal advisor in the White House.
You're listening to Business Talk with Jim Campbell from our flagship stations, WGCH Greenwich and WYBC Yale Radio, a presidency cut short next.
Do you want to take the great shows of BizTalk Radio wherever you go? Well, now you can with the new BizTalk Radio app for iPhone and Android devices. Now all the great shows of BizTalk Radio are with you wherever you go, just an arm's reach away on your smartphone. Download today at the App Store or the Google Play Store and get the brand new BizTalk Radio app. It's biz for you wherever you go with the new BizTalk Radio app.
This alert just came in. This special announcement is for business owners and leaders of organizations who've been waiting for the right time to build. General Steel has made it impossible to wait any longer with rock-bottom prices that could save you thousands. That's right, General Steel, America's leader in pre-engineered structures, is offering buildings at prices you will never see again. Don't miss these prices, a 50 by 100 for under $30,000. You heard right, that's 5,000 square feet under $30,000. Manufacturers, if you need a larger building, try a 100 by 100 commercial building for $129,000. You can't afford to rent with these prices. Imagine a 70 by 100 foot church building for under $69,000. With the economy improving and interest rates still at historic lows, you can't afford to wait.
Call 800-605-5370. 800-605-5370. Call 800-605-5370.
Paid non-attorney spokesperson Adam Pulaski of the Pulaski Law Firm with principal office in Houston, Texas is the attorney responsible for the content of this ad. This ad is not legal advice, and the choice of a lawyer should not be based solely upon advertisement. Services may not be available in all states.
Attention Xarelto users. If you or a loved one took Xarelto and suffered a serious bleeding event, you may be entitled to financial compensation. Xarelto is a popular prescription blood thinner used to prevent blood clots and protect patients from strokes. These serious bleeding events have led to numerous cases of hospitalization and even death. Phone lines are open 24/7. Call 800-425-1023. That's 800-425-1023.
If you're suffering from hearing loss, stay tuned for a special offer from the makers of Listen Clear, a revolutionary hearing aid breakthrough designed by top audio engineers to fit your ear almost invisibly. Right now, you can try Listen Clear hearing aids absolutely free for 45 days. You can also qualify for free shipping and free batteries for life. Listen Clear hearing aids are so lightweight and comfortable, you can wear them all day long. They're practically invisible, too, so others won't even notice you're wearing them. And the best part is, you'll be able to hear almost everything, everywhere. So do something about your hearing loss. Call Listen Clear now to get started with your 45-day risk-free hearing aid trial. This special offer won't be available for long, so call Listen Clear now.
800-716-4650. 800-716-4650. 800-716-4650. We're here 24 hours a day to help. That's 800-716-4650.
Have you written a book and want to get it published? Then call Page Publishing ASAP. We're looking for authors of all types of books. And unlike most publishers, Page Publishing will take the time to review each and every book submitted to us. And we'll give you our feedback. And if we like what we read, we will get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, the Apple iTunes Store, Barnes & Noble, and other outlets. We handle everything. Editing, cover design, copyright protection, printing, publicity, and distribution. So if you've written a novel, children's book, cookbook, inspirational work, poetry, or a biography and want to get it published, call Page Publishing now for your free author submission kit. Your road to fame and fortune could very well start with this simple phone call.
888-785-0618. 888-785-0618. 888-785-0618. That's 888-785-0618.
How old are you? 25, 35, 50, or older? If you have pain, we can help. Do your knees hurt?
Ow!
Let me ask you again. Are your knees killing you?
Oh, yeah. Are they ever?
What about your back? When you bend over, does it feel like this? How about when you get out of bed in the morning? If you're like me, your knees and back feel like this.
Oh, that hurts.
I found a company called the Pain Relief Hotline. They specialize in ways to treat your knee, back, and neck pain without surgery or taking medications. The good news is if you have insurance, you may have little or no cost or out-of-pocket expense. I've used them. It works. Call the Pain Relief Hotline now for free information. 800-303-4607. 800-303-4607. Call now.
800-303-4607. That's 800-303-4607.
Biz Talk Radio.
Larry Tye's got a new book out, Bobby Kennedy, The Making of a Liberal Icon. We're going to talk about the presidency now. And I want to talk first about Cuba, but starting at the Bay of Pigs, because Bobby seemed to have this Cuban portfolio, as you described. That was a complete failure. And the assassination attempts over the few years seemed to be so totally harebrained.
Yes. So let's start for a second with the Bay of Pigs. Your listeners may remember that after Castro had taken power, America, starting out with Dwight Eisenhower and actually seeing it come to fruition with Jack Kennedy, helped finance a secret army of Cubans, of Cuban exiles, to go back and try to take over the island by staging an invasion at the Bay of Pigs. And it was a disaster. The Cubans that weren't killed were captured, and America basically was exposed as having been behind this invasion. And Bobby Kennedy saw that as an affront to his brother and took it personally. And he helped, over the next year after the Bay of Pigs, launch something called Operation Mongoose. And what that was essentially a secret war to try to displace Castro and maybe to assassinate him. And it was sabotaging everything from his crops to launching the CIA-sponsored people in various harebrained assassination plots. It was a failure, but what it did was touch off fears among Castro and his supporters in Moscow to try to ensure that Castro would be protected. And so Khrushchev, the leader of the Soviet Union, installed missiles in Cuba. He did it secretly. America found out what he was doing. That led to the great standoff at the Cuban Missile Crisis. And again, Bobby was beside his brother during that whole tense 13 days, initially pushing him to launch airstrikes against Castro, eventually going along with JFK's plan for a blockade and rallying support for the blockade. And that was an extraordinary episode in terms of the whole war against Castro. It became an obsession for the Kennedy brothers, and it ended not just in a failure for them, but in the closest thing the world has ever come to a nuclear confrontation in those 13 days in October of 1962.
All right, civil rights, would you call that the greatest legacy? Old Miss integration, Alabama taking on George Wallace. In fact, where do you put civil rights in his legacy?
I put it as one of his great examples of a learning curve. Bobby starts out in 1960 when he's named as Attorney General, understanding very little about what was going on in the civil rights movement. And in the early days, what he cared most about was that guys like the Freedom Riders, the people who were trying to integrate interstate transportation and were getting their heads bashed in as they went to Anniston, Alabama, and Birmingham and Montgomery, Alabama. Bobby, in those days, was trying to get those civil rights demonstrators to back off so that they wouldn't embarrass Jack Kennedy. By the end of the Kennedy administration, Bobby was the greatest friend the civil rights movement had, and he was supporting with troops the demonstrators, the attempt to integrate the University of Mississippi. The riots there were quelled because Bobby Kennedy stepped in effectively and with enormous force. And by the end, Martin Luther King, who had started out having faith in Bobby Kennedy with little reason for that faith, by the end, Martin Luther King understood that Bobby Kennedy was the best friend the movement ever had in the U.S. government.
Is this another example of learning of sort of transforming over time? Vietnam, the Kennedy struck me as being very interested in counterinsurgency there and everything. And where was Bobby on Vietnam?
So Bobby was, along with his brother Jack, a huge supporter of America playing a role in standing up to the communists in North Vietnam. He basically promised that America would be there as long as the South Vietnamese were willing to fight. He was so closely associated with counterinsurgency that some people wrongly concluded that he invented the term. And yet, By the time he became a U.S. senator in 1964, he was beginning to have a change of heart. He saw that we were not winning that war, that we had little chance to win it, and that maybe we weren't on the right side. And by 1966, he did something very unusual for a U.S. senator. He stood up in the Senate and said, mea culpa. We were wrong. My brother and I helped get us into Vietnam, and we've got to get us out. And that was just one more point of confrontation with Lyndon Johnson, who was a staunch supporter of the war in Vietnam, and Bobby became his greatest critic.
Interesting, because you talk about counterinsurgency right so early there. LBJ fought a more conventional war, which was not successful. Okay, the assassination now, Dallas, November 22nd. What was Bobby's reaction? And then I'm interested in, did he have guilt because of his Cuba portfolio and mafia portfolio?
Great. So his reaction was twofold. For the first month after the assassination, Bobby helped rally his family. In the early days, he told his brother Ted, you will tell our parents what just happened. He told his sister Eunice Shriver, you and your husband Sergeant Shriver will help organize the funeral. The family was devastated, and Bobby was the glue. His dad, Joe Kennedy, had had a stroke, and he had named Bobby as the official head of the Klan to take over after him, and Bobby played that role brilliantly. He also helped the country hold it together. They had lost their young president, who had promised new frontiers ahead, and everywhere you looked, at the funeral, at pictures taken with him holding the hands of Jackie Kennedy and John Kennedy, it was Bobby who was rallying America to support the new president, the guy he hated, Lyndon Johnson, and to hold it together. But at the end of that month after the assassination, the country and the family were basically putting their lives back together, and Bobby was devastated. And Bobby went through from that moment till the October or so of 1964, he went through what 50 years later Ethel describes as a serious clinical depression. He had lost his brother. He had lost his best friend. He had lost his whole sense of personal and professional purpose. And it wasn't until it looked like he could lose the campaign he was waging for senator from New York that Bobby finally pulled himself together enough, quickly enough, to win that race for the Senate and to give himself a new sense of direction. But I think for the rest of his life, he lived with a sense of guilt.
Mm-hmm.
He had a sense that a hornet's nest that he had stirred up, whether it was by waging a secret war against Castro or going after organized crime or maybe going after Teamster leader Jimmy Hoffa, he always wondered whether that is what led to his brother's assassination. And he was convinced the only way he was ever going to get to the truth of who killed his brother was if he became president and could actually control the levers of investigation of the government.
He did not cooperate, though, with the Warren Commission, you report.
So he was one of the only people, along with Jackie, who was essential that the Warren Commission didn't interview. I'm not sure that he ever read the report, and I know he never trusted any findings that were going to come from an LBJ-appointed commission like the Warren one.
He's now senator. He's in the 68 campaign. The Indiana speech after the Martin Luther King assassination really sticks out to me.
So let me set a little bit of that scene. Bobby Kennedy is campaigning in the first contested primary for him in Indiana. He flies in on a day in April of 1968 to Indianapolis, and he's greeted at the airport by the then young mayor of Indianapolis, who went on to become a U.S. senator, named Richard Lugar. And Lugar says, Martin Luther King has been shot and killed. Bobby, you were planning to give a speech tonight in the middle of the black ghetto, and I'm telling you, you can't go there. You can't go there because it could cause a riot, and you might not come out alive. And Bobby dutifully listens to the mayor and ignores his advice, goes into the ghetto, and throws away all the notes that his staffers have given him, jumps up on the back of a flatbed pickup truck, and for the next 5 minutes gives what may have been the most impassioned speech that a white politician has ever delivered in Black America. He asks people to understand that he feels the pain of their loss of Martin Luther King because 5 years before he had lost his brother to an assassin's bullet. And something extraordinary happened that night. Number one, Indianapolis was the only major city in America with an enormous Black population that didn't riot that night. And it didn't riot because of the speech given by Bobby Kennedy calling for people to be peaceful. And number two, he went into the ghetto to embrace the Black community for its loss of Martin Luther King. And instead, that community that night embraced him for the loss of Jack Kennedy. And from that night until the end of his campaign and the end of his life, I can say, I think, without any hyperbole, that Bobby Kennedy was the single most popular white man in Black America.
Boy, that description gave me chills. We'll be back for our final national segment, The Assassination and Legacy of RFK.
Hi, I'm Joan London. If you're worried about your parent or loved one living alone, like I was, and you want reliable senior care information, then call A Place for Mom, the nation's largest senior living referral service.
Finding an apartment that was on the courtyard with the view of the trees, the view of the ducks, the stream, the creek, all of that, that was what I needed.
You'll get free information on assisted living, Alzheimer's care, nursing homes, even important financial information. Here's the number.
To speak to a local senior living advisor, call A Place for Mom at 800-506-0320. That's 800-506-0320.
A Place for Mom is a free service, and you can trust them to help you. So if you're struggling to find reliable senior living information, there's a place for answers, A Place for Mom.
To speak to a local senior living advisor, call A Place for Mom at 800-506-0320. That's 800-506-0320.
If your credit card bills have gotten out of hand, call Consolidated Credit now. If you're making the minimum payments, but your balance is just not going down, call Consolidated Credit now. If the interest rates on your credit cards are so high, it will take years to get out of debt, call Consolidated Credit now. They've helped over 5 million people with credit card debt. They can consolidate your debts into one lower payment, reduce your interest rates, and get you out of debt fast. If you're struggling with credit card debt, the first step is yours. Call Consolidated Credit now. Call 800-463-1749. 800-463-1749. That's 800-463-1749. Consolidated Credit Counseling Services Incorporated, 5701 West Sunrise Boulevard, Fort Lauderdale, Florida, 33313. Not a loan company. Licensed by the New York Department of Financial Services or by the Vermont Department of Financial Regulation. Maryland DM-19, Oregon DM-80031. Licensed by the Virginia State Corporation Commission. License number DC-32.
National Funding Group has just released $100 million in easy access small business funding to businesses that gross at least $100,000 a year. You can have fast access up to $500,000 in new business capital in as little as 48 hours. Think about the ways you could grow your business if you had up to $500,000 cash infusion. Call a NFG funding expert now. The process is easy. It only takes about 5 minutes. Then our management-owned lending team looks at your application for a fast approval. You can get 100% funded in about 2 days. If you need up to $500,000 in working capital to run your business and you gross at least $100,000 a year, call NFG and apply today. 800-296-1564. 800-296-1564. 800-296-1564. That's 800-296-1564.
Are you married? Do you and your husband both have term life insurance? If you both don't, you should. You have a lot to protect. Call now, get a free quote for your husband, and while you're at it, get a quote for yourself too. Because you both need term life insurance. Call now. 800-915-9658. 800-915-9658. 800-915-9658. Rates are at all-time lows. We'll shop over 30 top-rated companies to get you the best possible rates. Term life insurance, it's the perfect way to protect the quality of your family's lifestyle. You and your husband both need term life insurance, so Call now for a free quote for the both of you. 800-915-9658. 800-915-9658. 800-915-9658.
Here's George Foreman with InventHelp.
Hi, I'm George Foreman. Do you have an idea for a new product or invention? People ask me all the time, George, how do I get my idea in front of companies? How do I get a patent? What do I do next? Do you have the same questions? I'll tell you like I'll tell them all. Call my friends at InventHelp.
Call InventHelp today for free information. InventHelp has been helping inventors for more than 30 years and has sales offices nationwide. InventHelp can submit your invention to companies who are interested in receiving new ideas. If you have an idea and want to try to patent it and submit it to companies, you should call InventHelp today for free information.
Listen, I can't guarantee a company will be interested in your idea, but I believe every inventor deserves the opportunity to step into the ring and take their best shot. Put InventHelp in your corner.
To get your free inventor's information, call 1-800-351-1453. That's 1-800-351-1453. Again, 1-800-351-1453.
Biz Talk Radio.
RFK biographer Larry Tye, our last national segment. Take us through the RFK assassination. There's stuff in the book that I never knew about that he actually spoke after he'd been shot. Go ahead.
Sure. So Bobby has just won that night in June 1968 the critical California primary. It's a primary that I think would have catapulted him to the nomination. It was after he had lost the primary, the first time a Kennedy had ever lost an election in Oregon. He had to win in California. He did. He's up on the podium giving an incredibly dramatic acceptance speech, and the speech ends with the words, "On to Chicago," which is where the convention was going to be held and where he was planning to go the next day and be endorsed for president by the powerful big city mayor, Richard Daley. He steps off the podium and walks through the kitchen of the Ambassador Hotel. Not at his side for the first time in that campaign was his bodyguard, the ex-FBI agent Bill Berry. And Berry, at Bobby's direction, had stayed on the podium to help a pregnant Ethel Kennedy down from the podium. So no bodyguard, Bobby's walking through the kitchen, and Sirhan Sirhan, a Palestinian activist, shoots him several times and kills him. But while he is still conscious, Bobby basically is asking about whether everybody else is okay, because he knew that other people had been shot as well. And at his moment, you know, when he is barely living, he's asking about other people. It was an extraordinary moment. It was an extraordinary tragedy at a moment when Bobby looked like he was going to be this great hope who was going to be catapulted to the nomination, and it was one more tragedy for a Kennedy family that had lost not just Jack Kennedy, but had lost Bobby's older sister, Kathleen, in a horrible plane crash, and had lost the oldest of all the Kennedy kids, Joe Kennedy Jr., in a crash of a plane during World War II when he was on a heroic bombing mission over France.
I was going to get to this a little bit later, but quickly, he also lost Rosemary Kennedy, in a sense. How did that impact him?
So Rosemary was his older sister who had what may have been mental retardation, but I think may have been some other disability like a severe form of autism. Rosemary was a bit of an embarrassment to Joe Kennedy, and Joe had what in those days looked like it could be a promising procedure done on Rosemary, which was a lobotomy, actually removing a piece of her brain. It left her severely disabled. Joe Kennedy shuttled her off to a convent in Wisconsin where he paid nuns a whole lot of money to take care of her and keep her out of the limelight for the rest of her life so she wouldn't be an embarrassment to Jack or any of the other Kennedys. And for the rest of their lives, Rosemary's siblings, including Bobby, made mental retardation and mental illness one of their major causes, to the point where Eunice Shriver Kennedy founded the Special Olympics.
All right. Legacy time. How would the country have been different? You mentioned this in the first segment, if he had been elected president.
So I think in the first 5 minutes of his presidency, whereas his brother Jack was very cautious, Bobby would have given us an incredibly strong civil rights bill. He would have helped launch a withdrawal of American troops from Vietnam. He would have helped heal racial breaches and other breaches in American society. And I think we would have not just been different back in 1968 had we had Bobby Kennedy instead of Richard Nixon. We'd be different today because he would have started redressing a lot of the divisions in American society that were incredibly apparent in last year's election.
This is probably unfair, but can I infer that you think if JFK had lived and RFK had lived, RFK may have been a more impactful presidency?
Absolutely more impactful than JFK would have been, because he would have been more passionate and more courageous and gotten more done much quicker.
Now, is Bobby kind of a contradiction? You described the very puritanical, but he was somewhat of a womanizer. He sort of covered up JFK's. How do you put wrapper around the personality, the person?
So I look at the roots from which he sprung, and I think that having as your role model Joe Kennedy, who had a famous affair with Gloria Swanson, who had lots of other women in his life besides Rose Kennedy, I think that Bobby, what I can say about Bobby in terms of his personal and romantic life is that he was the most sanctimonious and the most faithful of any of the Kennedy boys, which on the one hand left a lot of room, but on the other hand, I think he really did try, and I think his marriage with Ethel was extraordinary.
Who were his heroes, quickly, too? I'm interested in that.
So Bobby Kennedy's heroes were a number of U.S. senators whom your listeners wouldn't recognize, but all of whom exercised profiles and courage quietly that Bobby really took to heart. And I think that his heroes were people quite different than Jack's and who had the highest standards, not just of ethics, but of understanding practical politics and of how to get things done. And Bobby understood the rough and tumble of politics, but he also understood the noble purposes, like civil rights, like ending wars, that would have made him an extraordinary president.
Now, of course, he never was president, so how do you think the verdict of history will come down on him?
So I hope the verdict of history will look at the fact that he was one of the most effective U.S. senators ever, having served just 4 years. And I think the verdict of history will also be one of great unmet but potential that today continues to inspire people, ranging from Hillary Clinton to Barack Obama. So I think Bobby Kennedy's legacy I can summarize in two words. He was the kind of tough liberal that progressives still dream about, or if your listeners are of a more conservative persuasion, he was the kind of tender conservative that gave conservatism a good name.
A fascinating and very quick hour with Larry Tai on his new book. We'll finish here with a clip from Ted Kennedy's eulogy in Bobby's name.
My brother need not be idealized or enlarged in death beyond what he was in life. To be remembered simply as a good and decent man who saw wrong and tried to right it, saw suffering and tried to heal it, saw war and tried to stop it.
Thanks to Larry Tai. That book again, Bobby Kennedy, The Making of a Liberal Icon. This has been Business Talk with Jim Campbell. Thanks to Larry. Thanks to our national audience for listening. And we'll see everybody next Sunday on Business Talk with Jim Campbell.
The opinions you hear on Biz Talk Radio are those of the hosts, callers, and guests, and do not necessarily reflect those of this station, Biz Talk Radio, its management, or advertisers. The information on Biz Talk Radio does not constitute a recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or securities. Please consult a professional before investing. If you have any questions about Biz Talk Radio, contact us at 817-274-1609 or at biztalkradio.com.
Biz Talk Radio.